Hey, so I was going to say, since the last time I seen you, you've gone like trendy on a jumper in exchange for the hat. Did you exchange that jumper for the hat, or did you turn that hat into some fun of jumper?
This is, I don't know how you wear this. Might maybe be a fisherman's hat, but how's it look?
It looks like it's fucking too small.
Too small? I think that's the style of a fisherman hat.
One. You got one? That's cool, yeah.
How'd you wear it like this?
Whoa.
You might have put it over your ears.
No.
Welcome to Fashion Tips with Ben.
You're the only man that can make uncool shit look cool.
You say that every week. I'm so happy that you say that to me. That means a lot to me.
The listeners.
No, it means a lot to me. So welcome along, folks. Welcome back to the latest episode of the latest and greatest show. I really want some papers I can bang on the, like a fucking newsreader. Like an anchor man.
Yeah.
The Human Torch.
What's that guy called?
Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes of Anchorman. Have you watched Anchorman?
Yeah.
Anyone, I don't trust anyone who hasn't watched Anchorman. I just don't fucking trust it. Like, you don't like Anchorman. One of my favorite scenes is when Ron misses the news and Veronica's the
Wait. How many fucking times have you watched this film?
So Veronica's the lead, isn't she? Yeah. And she's like, he bursts in after he's had a fight with that bloke. And he comes in. I mean, I love, that's one of my favorite sayings. When he says, "Ron, where are you?" And he's in the payphone. "I'm in a glass case of emotion."
It's like most people, eh?
Yeah. But I love it when he comes in and Veronica says to him, Ron, I did it. I let the news. He was like, "What? What? This is outrageous." She said, "Honey, I told you I wanted to be an anchor." He said, "I thought you were joking. I wrote it down in my journal that night. Veronica said a very funny joke at dinner." So anytime someone says something on ice night, I have to do that impression.
Yeah,
I thought you were joking. Yeah, I wrote it down in my journal that night.
Bianca sick of it, yeah, or what?
Yeah, you have to be there, really. You have to be there to appreciate the level of humor that it is. But I get all my humour. I'm sorry, I'm just rattling on that. Before we dive in, I get all my humour. Every year my mum does something that makes me laugh or says something. Did I tell you what she said to me about my Hotmail account?
Nah.
You know, I'll tell you a story.
Recently, sorry.
"Simon, can I have your email, please?" I was like, "Yeah." So it's this is a while back. I said, "Yeah." So it's Simon, yep, -. Uh-huh. She goes, "Okay, - yeah. Gwillem. Okay. @hotmail.com. She went, "Simon, Hotmail." I was like, "No, that's the provider. That's not me describing myself."
she thought
I was saying I was a Hotmail. Oh, I was like, "What the fuck? What do you think I am?"
Well, she obviously thought you had it in your locker.
Yeah, there is a Hotmail, ahotmail.com. That's me, mum.
Yeah.
Oh God, she's giving me some funny stuff. So anyway, Ben, this week I want to talk about a principle. Okay. The principle in the book. We haven't mentioned the book for a long time, but it's still out there. Go get it on Amazon. How to Be Less Shit. Go get it. My favorite chapter, one of my favorite chapters, Making Friends with the Enemy. Right? This idea that we sometimes prioritize, come get you, sometimes prioritize building grit and mental resilience because we're afraid of our own mind rather than actually making friends with the so-called enemy and actually loosen up and saying, "Hey, what we got here?" Do you know what I mean? Like, how can I seek to understand myself? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Make sense?
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, because me and you've hung out for a long time. Do you think you've made that transition? I mean, I haven't spoke about this till this very second, but I was thinking back for all of us, when I first met you, possibly a little bit like me at the same time, like trying to keep control of our mind because losing control of it meant chaos, if you know what I mean, rather than actually learning to let go a little bit, seek to understand some of the things we don't like about ourselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I felt like I was losing control, not trying to control it. Maybe that's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you... Control's a funny illusion because we actually have so little control over how we think.
Yeah, good point.
When you think about it.
Well, in the initial reaction, right?
Yeah, nobody on the planet can stop the first thought that comes into their head, can they?
No.
I don't think they've ever, you don't know, you can't predict what the next thought's going to be. And we actually have very little control over how we think.
Our whole thought process, yeah.
Yeah, it's always reactionary, isn't it?
Mm.
So I suppose rather than clinging on, and I was just thinking about this because we're in the business of helping people think better, improve their lives, all this sort of stuff that we do outside of this show. And I think one thing that I constantly kind of come into contact with is this, I'm battling against my own mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to remove negative thoughts. Uh-huh. I'm trying to get control. I'm almost suppressing. I think that's the right word.
Yeah.
Is it suppress or is it, what's the other word that's oppress?
Oppress.
No, that makes sense. Either way, we're trying to, I'll get it in a minute. We're trying to suppress these elements of ourselves that we don't like.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like holding that analogy, holding a beach ball down underwater.
Mm.
That, you know, the moment we take our eye off the ball a little bit or something triggers that, it's like, up in your face. And then we're reacting all the ways we don't like. And we think that's the only way, as opposed to, hang on a minute, let's get the beach ball out. Let's have a look at it. Why is this beach ball here? You know, what does it want from me? Mm. You know, what's it telling me? Like, so the whole point of that chapter is, how can I understand myself better? How can I work with my mind, not against it?
Rather than fight it.
Yeah. How can I befriend it rather than fight it? Because they're not the same, are they? How can I train it over trying to constantly control it? That's been an element of self-control, of course. But this idea that I have to control the way I think every day is actually a losing battle because you can't control how you what you think, can you?
And then we were talking about this last week in one of the coaching sessions that about intrusive thoughts, and I was like, man, just because you had an intrusive thought doesn't mean you're a bad person. For thinking that way doesn't mean you have to act on it.
No.
And I was like, look, I get intrusive thoughts all the time. Explaining the situation with the fella in the fucking sauna coming, telling me I was too close to the steam and it's going to touch my skin and my sweat is going to be all over the sauna. I was like, mate, we're in a sauna, regardless where I sit. And I was saying, I was thinking to this guy, I'm going to fucking headlock this fella and throw him out of here in a minute. And like, but it doesn't make me a bad person that had these type of thoughts because I didn't act on him, right?
Yeah.
And we all have this. And that's what we're seeing in Unbreakable. We think, man, I've had this thought again. Or, you know, people make so much progress and they start feeling a certain way and start having these thoughts again. They think they've lost all the progress and they're going backwards and they start wrestling with it again. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
And I see that. I can really relate to that. I'm sure you can, you know, all battling with your mind, fighting with
your
mind.
Giving it too much significance.
Yeah, and giving it way too much time and energy.
It's like, what is a thought really? Something floating through your conscious. I suppose your awareness at that point, it's like, whoa. But if you're like, whoa, why is that there? Grab hold of it. Why is this here? Oh, there's another one. It's always here. It's like
thought power.
The ability just to let it float by and think, I think some crazy shit. What? Like, we think crazy shit. If everyone actually just had a fucking big sign on their head and it was like, there's traffic signs, you know, that are just like, you know, on the motorway.
Yeah, the billboards.
It's like, you know, obstruction, report of obstruction. If you had a thing like that, just flashing up all the time, what you were thinking, be fucking crazy, wouldn't it?
Man, nuts.
I was walking into Greg's thinking, God, oh, this is a good looking girl over there.
When we were in. She's looking at me.
I think she definitely
was.
And
then the woman was definitely.
Oh, Christmas cake. Isn't that brilliant? You know, Christmas cake's wonderful. Ben's paying for this. How's that woman got that? You know, and you think some terrible things. I think I come back to this a lot, but, you know, being a parent sometimes, a crying baby nonstop, and you might be like, you think some terrible things on time, don't you? You're like, fucking hell. Like,
so baby, I can't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, stop shut crying. Up. For what's God's sake, what's wrong with you?
You fed, your ass is clean.
Throw you out the window in a minute. But then you can relate sometimes to, you know, I'm not saying this, you know, people hurt babies and stuff. You can never make that okay. Do you know what I mean?
Not at all.
Sometimes you could probably see how people end up doing things like that. And I'm not saying that's good.
No, you got to have that.
Mentally
type
ill
of thinking,
people, for
it?
Example. Yeah, someone who's mentally ill and has had shitloads of trauma, it doesn't make it right, but you can see how people do stupid shit.
Yeah, if you're
that you'd never do. No. But you can kind of, that's one of the things I learned hugely from Buddhism and their art of Tonglen, like relating to things like that. It's like you can see, because I've been ill of late, and you're like, fucking hell, it's chronic. And it's like, You can see, like, God, hey, people with chronic illnesses over the course of their life get so miserable and down, and because it's never ending. I could relate to that all of a sudden where I couldn't before. I was thinking, is this fucking like me now? Like, limited in what I can do and how I feel, and like, is this me? I felt so down. So you take someone who's had that for 30 years, you know, fucking hell. That must be so hard. It must be exhausting.
Especially when you've not got no real solution or answers.
Yeah.
You know, and getting to the root of it. And again, then, you know, you're having to battle with all that. Is it this? Is it that? Is it me? Is it sick? Is this the rest of my life? Or, and I'm not making, well, suppose you don't have to make friends with it, but you've got to at least work with it.
Mm.
Rather than suppress it. And then for these things, you know, they spiral out of control, this little thought, when you start tackling that, it doesn't stay that far. Then you download it. It comes with a load of attachments on it, and things stem off from that. And then you take that down, things stem off from that. Like, you think about the thought of worrying about what people think, right?
Mm.
Where we fucking never know what someone else is thinking, yet you worry about the thing. So that chitter-chatter of you actually making the thing up in your head, when you don't never know what they're going to... So what point is that? And where does it, you know, is that attached to a more deeper root of different thoughts than that thought?
The point I'm trying to make about like the thing about like being chronically ill, or even the baby thing's a perfect example. You can't condone that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But people, I have thought terrible things on times, but you just don't do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
People say, oh God, I thought all this stuff. It's like people think a lot of bad shit all the time.
Yeah.
They're just thoughts flying through. It's what you do, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's how you act upon that. Yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I think we've all been in situations where you thought absolutely awful things about people or life or yourself.
Oh, yourself, that's a big one.
Yeah, and you're like, or certainly you've become aware of thoughts about yourself or life or things. But I think sometimes I remember thinking I was the only one who thought like that. I must be the only person on the planet who thinks terrible things about other people or different things. And it's like, actually, no.
You know what like, makes it worse, you know, we're going to label this shit positive thinking, negative thinking.
Yeah.
I think that's ignorant to the complexity of that, you know.
Well, it's just thinking.
It's just fucking thinking, isn't it? And what meaning we assign to that really comes down to our level of skill, our level of understanding, level of awareness.
I think actually, come to think of it, I wrote about this in the book actually. I was using Mark as an example because when I met Mark, I was in Newcastle at an event with Paul and stuff, and then he was talking about what he could see in me. And I remember, like, the book was quite hard for me to write in a sense because it brought up a lot of old stuff because I was trying to put myself, I didn't just want to write a how-to book, which was prescription-based. I wanted to add a bit of personal narrative, or certainly story-based narrative in some places. Mm. So I was trying to remember times in my own life, not make it about me, but sort of explain through stories about people or about me, kind of, something relatable.
Mate, am I in this book?
Nah.
Of all the stories I've told you, I'm not in a story
book. No, you're in the new book.
Oh, we're on about Unbreakable here?
Don't worry, you're in my new book, Flip This. No, I'm on about How to Be Less Shit.
All right, cool,
I don't think you're in it, no.
That's nice.
Well, I wrote it a year ago. I don't even know you for about 5 years by then.
Yeah, maybe a bit more.
But now after this, I think you might get there. But going back to that, I thought I was the biggest piece of shit on earth.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was consumed by it. I couldn't escape it.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no amount of reasoning I think the more I tried to figure out to wrestle with it and move it and suppress it and like almost be like, no, I'm not a piece of shit because look, I'm doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm proving to myself I'm not a piece of shit. Like, the worse it gone. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But when I sort of sat, I'm like, right, let's sit with this. Let's see how bad this is. That's when meditation came in and was a big game changer for me to sit there and be like, yeah, there they are, look. There's all them thoughts. They're not hurting me, are they? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Well, I was able to separate eventually from them.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? We all get caught up in those...
prison to your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, Viktor Frankl.
You must have thought that.
Oh, man, Jesus. Man, it's not only... there's the side of it that's not real, right? The thoughts that just are just thoughts.
Mm.
But But the memory of the thoughts as well. I've done some horrible shit. And I remember going through a time with you. I'm sure you helped me with it. I mean, it was you. We were talking about, man, I look back at some of the shit I've done now. Now I've changed and I'm fucking ashamed of it. Not only that, like, what I think about myself now and the thought that that's gave birth to, yeah? Because I'm looking at it through the lens of a man that can see where he's gone wrong and a different person. You know, the work I had to do on that, addressing it, made me realise, nah, that was a choice that I made then. Right, that was who I was then, and looking back at that now, the person I am now doesn't give it a fair account. And working with it actually gave me the lessons, actually gave me the teachings, actually gave me the acceptance that helped me become the man I am today. And I wouldn't change a thing, even the things that have happened that are out of my control. You know, so I think you know that again. There's a thought process in this where it sits with the victim. Why me? Why has that happened? And I don't think there's really anyone. I know people have been hurt by people, but really the majority of us, if there's anyone at the top of the list of treat yourself bad, is probably ourselves.
Mm.
Got to be not the top dog in that.
Yeah, and also, I think there's not many people on the... I don't think there's anyone on the planet who's not hurt somebody.
Yeah.
We forget that sometimes when we've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've been wronged. We forget that we probably wronged someone, even sometimes unintentionally. Not intentionally.
But that's what the world's come to now, right? You can't hurt anybody. No one can feel bad. Fuck, no one can feel offended, although everyone's looking to be offended.
Yeah, well, it's a big difference between going out and thinking, I'm going to fucking offend you.
Yeah, and then wanting to be offended.
Or just being yourself, possibly, and talking about something, offending someone. We're all going to be offended by different things, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Based on our past history.
Mm.
This conversation right now, I've probably said a few things there where people go, that could find really offensive or triggering to them, but maybe not to somebody else.
Mm.
Well, who's that on? Do you know what I mean? I'm saying the exact same words. Let's say that when I teach, like I'm saying the exact same words to all of you. Well, someone, you're going to take it and go, wow, man, like that's lit a fire in me. Somebody else is going to say, wow, you're an asshole. I've said the same words to everyone.
Mm.
What decided it? Probably your past experiences.
Crazy, right?
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So what am I meant to do? Change my words for you a little bit and then maybe you don't get something from... Oh, now I've offended you.
Well, that's crazy.
They're not offended, but they are now. Oh, fuck, I better change. It's a bit like exercise classes. Do you remember back in the day teaching a big circuit class? Sometimes if you wanted to please everyone, there's always someone that's not doesn't quite like it.
Yeah.
So 99% of the group could like it, one person doesn't. So what do? Do you change it for the one person?
Hell no.
Of course you don't.
No.
But I remember you should have been trying to please them and then somebody else is unhappy. You're like, well, look, I'm just going to be me. Yeah. If you like it, come. And if you don't, fucking don't come.
And where's the fact that actually if you're offended, if someone's offended and someone's not offended by what you said and then they want you to change it, then you're going to feel offended.
Also, yeah. And yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's the shit's going on with it, but you can't say that. Well, fucking, yeah, I can. Well, that offended person, it could be deemed as hate speech. Well, the very fact that I can't say it now is making me feel offended at the fact that you feel offended. So now you don't feel offended, but I feel...
I'm offended that you're not offended. Right, not being I'm offended you're not offended by
well,
that.
This is the shit happened. I told you, my son the other week in school, bleeding detention because he said what he thought was right. And the woman is like, well, we're talking about compassion and kindness, right? And I'm like, well, that's funny, isn't it? Because now that he doesn't agree with what you're saying, where's your compassion and kindness? And you want to start labeling some shit he'd never even heard of and giving him detention. Yeah. Like, and now, actually, you can't even give me a deep understanding why you're offended. And you are actually the judge who determines who's been offended, even though no one said you've been offended. And now you're just making some shit up that isn't there, but it's my child that actually come home feeling offended. How the hell does that make sense?
Life's a funny old thing. I've got like this, I don't know, I'm just like, you know, each to your own. If you want to believe that, crack on, but don't make me... have to believe what you believe.
100%.
And I won't try and make you believe what I believe. You believe what you want. I believe what I want.
But what they're trying to make us believe in is something that doesn't really work, something that fits, something that ticks all the boxes but doesn't have no fucking meaning.
Well, you're never going to tick all the boxes.
Well, in terms of what their criteria is for it, innit?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a dangerous place to be.
Well, I think people are... We're at a time in life where I think people are more confused than ever. If you think about it, but I think there is these times in history. We were talking about it outside there where Mark was talking about religion coming about and no science and science coming about and us all clinging on to a sense of trying to find
purpose,
a way of understanding our own existence.
Yeah.
Because if you sit too long and try and understand it, it blows your mind a little bit.
Well,
doesn't
it's a never-ending story.
If you try and understand, like, what am I doing? Where am I going? What's the meaning of this? Like, it can blow your mind. You can get so far in that all of a sudden you think there's no meaning to anything. Yeah. But there is meaning. I'm giving it meaning. It's, oh, God, what the fuck's going on here? But I don't like anyone who... I'm not a fan of anyone who intentionally tries to offend other people at all. If I saw someone in a pub just trying to be horrible to someone, I'd be like, what are you doing that for, you dick?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't like... I'm not a big fan of this essence of trying to make everybody the same.
Yeah.
And believe the same things. And also, if you don't believe what I believe, you're a bad person.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, no, I just don't believe what you believe. Like, I'm a big believer in like Taoism and probably a touch of Buddhism and things like that. But if you were a Christian or a Catholic, I won't be like...
I'm offended that
also like, God, mate, you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, whatever works for you, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's a big part of the world that they try to prove everyone wrong to make them right.
Well, you're on a loser there straight away. I also think as well, I said this a few years ago, I don't know if you've noticed this, but if I believe something like I do, like we believe in our unbreakable principles, don't we?
Uh-huh.
I would, you know... I'd have that everywhere that wanted it. Do you know what I mean? That's what we're trying to do, right? I believe that these principles we teach and the sort of stuff we do helps people live a better life. That's what I believe. And because I want more people to adopt that, I try and understand the person and be like, where are they at? You know, and what's in their head, you know, and like maybe try this. Like we've been talking about, it's like gentle approach. I don't want to alienate them because I want them to believe. I want them to come in. I want them to get closer to us and have this amazing stuff and live and get the results all our members get, you know? So the last thing I want to do is attack them, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, you're right. You know, what you're doing is shit and that's never going to get you anywhere because what are they going to do when I do that?
Just go the opposite way. I'll
defend
react.
It. Yeah, defend yeah. it. No, you don't understand. Exactly. It's you. But I find on the internet, a lot of people who really want to do good in the world try and get other people to adopt their beliefs by fucking attacking everyone. It's like, yeah. You're never going to get them on your side. You'll be more skillful than that. If you want them to come up, believe what you believe, you've got to be a bit more intelligent than that.
Big
you've got
time.
To go in and try to understand.
I was saying about that fella, that bit of a fucking influence at the minute, and I was saying, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He was going, look at this cunt here. Drinking lemon water in the morning. And I was like, you got a big
following,
James
right? Smith.
Yeah, that's his fella. That's his name.
Yeah. He used to do a lot of that on, you know,
I was like,
wait
a minute. Wait a minute. If you done that in front of my mum, she'd tell me to beat the fuck out of you. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't speak about an holy. And she's over there doing her thing. Whether fucking lemon water works or not, who are you to start fucking being a judge and jury on that shit? Yeah?
An asshole.
Start bullying a woman, calling her a cunt and that. In hope that it makes you look better. Or in hope that
people
shift towards, let's not do that shit. Because listen, whether you drink fucking water or lemon water in the morning, the fact that you're drinking water, and there is health benefits of fucking drinking lemon water, better than a sugary ass drink or a fucking Lucozade in the morning.
If it's a
you ain't
swap.
Getting up on the camera going, let's go on to Lucozade and all these big fucking corporate companies that are just fucking drowning us in sugar and a link to poor health in that shit. I just, and this is all over the show, try to demonize and fucking disrespect
and
push people down.
I don't like anyone who isolates an individual.
Huh?
I don't like anyone who isolates an individual like they were doing.
And you see them all.
They did it a lot. And going, oh, look at this idiot. Oh, God, sarcastic. I'm like, that is the lowest form of teaching I can ever. And I'm not trying to teach, but that's the lowest form of making a point to me that will ever exist. Like, we've just brought him up. I put his name in there because it's true. It's factual. You can go find it. That's what he did that for ages and built a big following. But
then your little cheerleader,
if that's the way he wants to do it, crack on.
Well, it's fine, but you can do your thing, but then I'm sure you'll fucking turn into a puddle if someone done it to him.
Well, this I actually commented on something like this. Where I do this, I told you, it's like mocking, you know, it was a post by a friend of his, and he was saying about mocking and, you know, people mocking, and why do people mock other people? You know, why do people mock other people's success? And I was like, well, I don't normally comment. I said, that's all good and well, but I think people mock because they're sometimes bored as fuck and it's the internet. We've got to find this deep reason. You know, someone might mock me on one of my ads, but they're just like, who's this prick? Mock him, off I go, next thing. There's no meaning to it. Of course, some people mock because they're a bit jealous and don't understand it. Of course they do. It's, like I said, some people do it to take the piss. It's just a joke.
Mm.
That was what he was doing there, was a bit more, I think, nasty and spiteful, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know?
So, yeah. Some bullying shit.
Without a doubt. But also, that's what the point I made. I was like, sometimes I think people mock because they see other people do it online. A lot of big people mock.
Yeah, big echo chamber.
Mock, oh, let's mock this person's approach. It's like, nah, I think it shows an element. I think it shows a bit of character that's not particularly my cup of tea.
Mm. Oh, well, no, I agree with that. I think I've always been someone who's had the back for someone whose chips are down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the underdog.
I remember coming out one time, right? There was a load of us. And we come out of this house with a load of girls there doing our thing. We come out and we took trainers. I don't know why everyone took the trainers off in this house. And everyone's putting the trainers on. One of the lads that are with us, there was a fucking pair of trainers in this porch, ripped a foot, paint all over him. I thought it was someone's fucking trainers that lived in the house, yeah. And everyone's putting his trainers on. He's gone to put his trainers on last and everyone's seen it. They just started, fucking hell. Mate, I was like, what the fuck? I didn't, mate, get involved one sec, but it nudged me to get this fella a pair of trainers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whether that was right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The point I'm making is like, that there is how shit's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Like, because the fact that you're mocking fucking some fella having poor trainers, one, you've lost the appreciation of the things you have on your feet. Mm. Two, it's like, these are our people. Yeah, if we can help this man here, it's the same way even if we went out and no one could eat. If I have the last five in my pocket, and you see I'm a big giver now,
yeah,
right?
You are, yeah.
And but there was also a time I used to give from an insecurity as well.
Like
what?
To try and...
Not so much for like him, just because how bad it made me feel he was in a certain position and I need to give him something to make me feel better, do you know what I mean? Where now it's like, even they're coming today, that everyone's got a little present or a gift is because it's not that it's because I lack something. It's because it's incongruent with who I am.
Yeah, yeah,
and giving also, I think, is what has got me where I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not only just giving to other people, but also giving to yourself. You know, I think if you're going to have a mocker, a mockingbird, how much should we mock ourselves? Going back to those thoughts at the beginning of the episode, how much should we mock our own shit?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think anyone who's mocking somebody else publicly is particularly happy. It doesn't make it okay. But they're probably not that happy. And if you're doing it just purely for marketing, it's like, well, you forget these are real people, real lives, mate.
Mm.
That's the one thing I always think about with the work we do. It's like, you know, these people do exist beyond their profile picture.
True.
I'm not about random people, but if someone comes into our world, it's like, I see that as a big responsibility. They've extended an element of trust to us. You know, it should be like a doctor. First rule should be do no harm.
that shit's out the window.
Do no harm. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to come into my world, I want you to feel safe. I want you to feel like, you know, that doesn't mean I'm always going to be nice. You know, sometimes we're pretty direct. You know, if somebody needs a little direct nudge, but that's man management, isn't it? In a sense, you know who needs a hug.
Yeah.
Who needs a nudge.
Yeah, of course.
Who needs to be a bit direct because that's how they respond. Never nasty. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to be said. I actually don't understand this element of feeling the need to... Oh, hello.
All attack is a cry for help.
Yeah. I don't understand why you feel the need to attack other people online. The online world's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, you won't say that. Half of this shit people won't say if it was in a fucking boozer. Oh, that for a fact.
And well, I love a boozer, but the boozer's the place. That's where you meet all the good characters.
Proper fork.
Yeah, that's going to be my litmus. Is it litmus? Litmus test of people. Let's go to the pub. Yeah. See how you get on chatting to a lot of different people.
Hello.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's my test for future podcast guests. How are they in a pub? Are they all right in a pub?
Yeah.
You know, you find a lot out about people in social situations like that, I think.
Yeah, you see your true self. Like, dude, you have fucking blackouts on your phone, mate. Was in that fucking mastermind, mate. He's never off the fucking thing, really. They're like, your eyes really that colour? Don't look that on camera. Look, you know, you're about 3'2", mate. Look about 6'7". And everyone pulses the best shit, innit? The creme of the creme.
I tell you, we're
all guilty of that.
I think we're both the same. I've always been someone, I've always been this way, I think, that if I saw somebody who looked a bit isolated in a pub, I'd go talk to him.
Well, I'm the same.
Yeah, you doing all right? You make a chat, you know, do a little chat. Or that was one of my proudest moments of Ari getting his school nursery report. how he talks to everyone. And there's this one little lad who struggles with his speech. He's really delayed in his speech. And so they were like, he struggles to make friends. Because it's not the other kids being horrible. They just,
yeah,
they're like, oh, can't really talk. So they're playing with someone else, aren't they?
Yeah.
She said, oh, he will play with him all day long. And he always talks to me about it. Yeah, because he said, yeah, I play with him every day. And I'm good lad. Because I always say, make sure you don't leave anyone out ever. I think it's because probably sometimes, I felt left out as a kid.
Yeah.
You know how that feels, don't
course,
you? To feel left out and maybe not when I was younger and not.
Maybe that's where it stems from, innit?
So you want
fighting for the corner.
So you want anyone who feels left, get everyone involved. Don't ever let her, 'cause it's nothing worse than feeling left out, isolated or lonely.
You're not big on that, mate. I'll fucking leave no one behind.
Yeah.
Unless these motherfuckers mocking people online. They're getting left behind.
Somebody trying to do the best, put a video out there, try and help people. Yeah. You know? And there's somebody else just crucifying them for other people's fun, other people's laughs. What would that say about that individual? I don't know, but...
Fucking says a lot, mate.
Yeah,
says a lot to me anyway.
It's a bit like, it's only marketing.
What's even worse is a little fucking cheerleaders that cheer them mocking, you know what I mean? Oh, look at you. What?
They're the key people who stand around there while someone's being bullied having a fucking...
I know. Let's film it. Shit yourself in a real life situation.
Yeah. Miserable. Ratting on. I dare people. I dare they tread all over these people.
There'll be people like, what name mocking the mocker?
Well, look at them attacking the attackers of the attacker mocker.
Ain't they bullying the bullier?
They started it.
Yeah, fuck it, we're finishing it.
Yeah. But no, I just think the online world is a funny world. And I think it is a world we now live in, whether I like it or not. And I protect myself from the online world in a sense that I've spoke about this on many podcasts. It's like, you know, my private life is my private life.
Mm. Yeah, you taught me this.
And I don't care if anyone else wants to be out there.
Mm.
But for me, it's like, no, I don't see the point in sharing every element of my life just to gain trust or something or make my life look a certain way. It's not me. But I have to realize the online world is a world now that people live in, isn't it?
Big time.
You know? And people have different personas online to offline.
Than real life, yeah.
And you never know what any fucker looks like anymore because they're filtered out to fucking high heaven.
Catfished out the red.
So it's like, well, it's a different world. And it's a world we have to navigate. Our young kids are going to have to learn to navigate this world.
This is a conversation I'm with the kids, man. We need to teach them properly because, you know, a lot of this stuff that they take for truth, and that can shape beliefs, that can shape reality, you know?
But also bullying, I know it's a bit of a deep topic, but you know, all these things that go on, people commenting, I think all you can do is instill a sense of confidence in who they are as an individual, a sense of certainty in who they are.
Well, that's the solution to most problems, isn't it?
And it's like, so when somebody does say, oh, you're a dick, it's like, well, are you? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, that's enough. Well, who cares?
Yeah.
When you know you're not.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, big time.
I think it's a funny, I've really battled with the online world. And I sometimes watch other people and think, that's not who you are. I've met you and like you're a bit of a fake or, you know. And then, the online world's full of dicks, but it's not because like I met you through an online world. I met Mark through an online world. So the online world's not full of dicks. The online world's full of great people.
Yeah, and we've done some great things with it. It definitely has its purpose. As you say, you know, the magic's in the dose.
I think filters, by the way, I think that's going to be a big problem in the future. I'm just putting it out there.
Or maybe the big problem now.
It's just like, I get you want to filter your photos and whatever, maybe it makes you feel better, but I actually just think eventually, like, it's given us weird views of what people look like and stuff like that. And it's like, I think I can't take anyone serious teaching self-worth who filters their videos and photos. If you're teaching me to accept myself and your profile picture's got 74 filters on it and you look nothing like you look, I'm wondering if you've accepted yourself.
You're a fucking hypocrite.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm just think filters and the fact that cameras now, like iPhone, have built-in filters anyway. The standard to make us look different. I know we're probably a 30-minute episode, but I always remember the danger of filters, right? Not the danger, but I was on a meeting with you. I was on Zoom. And we were talking to that company about their well-being. And you introduced me to your friend.
Mm.
And he was a very handsome, well put together
fella.
Yeah. And
it's all right to say fella, mate.
I was thinking. And then I thought, well, God, next time I had to meet him on my own. I don't know why you weren't there. So I got my Zoom camera on. I looked in there. I thought, fucking hell. I look rough. Like, I thought, I'm teaching well being to this, you know, possibly just, I can't look this rough. You know, late night, I think I just had Ari, maybe. I was like, you can touch up your appearance on Zoom. So I thought, I want to get in and touch up my appearance, right? So I get in and I'm looking at the camera now, but look at the, get the button. I'm like, right, fucking Alice on already.
No, lad,
was yeah, it? I was like, fuck it. Motherfucker. Oh, how do I turn it off? I turned it off. I was like, I look like a self-service checkout. You know those cameras on there? You're like, I just want to pay for me for pin bacon fries. Who the fuck's that old man? That's me.
Yeah, I know. My hair was all bent on that. Why did I fucking like bent filter on this?
Why do I look so terrible? Yeah. I'm trying to pay for me goods. Like, what's going on?
By the way, don't think we've never fucked about with filters. Fucking's going to make my fucking six pack look a bit shredded. It's going in. But I think if you're playing around having fun, you're not like your whole fucking identity is on it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be the perfect picture. It has to be. We'll talk about this.
But when are you enough? When do you stop the filtering? I look at kids, my nieces and that, yeah. You know, it's like, you are like, that is not you. That profile picture is not you.
Yeah, if you're doing that, you're going to filter your life.
You don't look, it's like, it sounds a bit, you know, oh, it's only a filter, but is it only a filter?
What's the real psychological damage it's having?
Yeah. Surely they're going to have to look at, I guarantee people are looking into that.
Well, fuck, they have
study-wise.
Fuck it, come on.
They have to be.
But it's the whole thing of keeping you on there, isn't it? Harvesting your attention, making you feel people could have impact all this shit's having on, you know, our brain chemistry and all this stuff and our identity. Now, we spoke about this before, Mark, isn't it? That, you know, I'm trying to please 3,500 fucking people or your followers and 99.9% of them you don't even know.
Yeah, you can never.
You have this perception of, it's what the issue when I was like, always giving value. Ben, you got to give out there, giving value. And then I was like, fucking value. Really, I'm doing a disservice to these people because we're not giving them a next step.
We've spoken about this a lot, though. I think you just got to write. I figured with my whatever I'm writing out there. So the moment I start thinking, well, what do they want me to say? I'm fucked.
Mm.
I find it so difficult when I'm just expressing.
Yeah, I can relate
the
to
things
that.
I need to express, possibly, or what I think are important or what I want to say. That's when people go boom and there's loads of engagement. And when I'm trying to write for somebody else and I hate it.
Mm.
Do you know?
Yeah, big time.
But then, so to translate that across to life, how often are we all walking around thinking this is how I've got to be?
Mm.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, that's fucking draining, man. Especially if it's that side of
and this is how I've got to look.
Yeah.
And this is how, you know, I've got to do this. It's like, man, that is a drain, isn't it? And this, you know, I've got to hide who I am. Oh, I don't like my appearance. I'll put that filter on. Oh, now I'm happy. You know, and it's almost like, what's that story of, like, they talk about like hiding elements of who you are is like kind of trying to imagine a pineapple in your hand. I think it's Debbie Ford writes about this. And it's like, and you've got to hide that pineapple wherever you go. So I'm talking to you and I'm like, well, I can't let Ben see that.
Yeah,
and I'm talking to Mark. Well, I can't let Mark see that. You know, I'm talking to these people. Well, they can't see that. And it's like, imagine doing that with facets of yourself.
Untethered Soul talk about that, isn't it? That's a good book on it. You know, like the bit of issues that you don't like and you build a whole, like...
What's that?
Untethered Soul. The book, Untethered Soul.
No, I never read Untethered Soul.
That's a belter. But they talk about, if I remember correctly, like, you know, these things that we don't like about ourselves as a fawn. And then instead of taking a splinter out, you just leave it there, but then you start hiding it and you start dressing over it and it's difficult to put your clothes on, but you keep the pain there.
Yeah.
And then you start building a whole scaffolding around it and then you build a whole life around it, but really should take the fucking phone out and address it as you get. But my analogy for this, I've heard before, is if you're fucking strawberry, don't turn up vanilla.
Fuck you now. Wasn't that the first episode?
Come on.
Was that when Mike Tyson came in?
Yeah.
Or was that when Andrew Tate came in? Mm. You got strawberry there, you got vanilla here. That man comes, he's got an AK-47, right? Can't even do the Andrew Tate anymore.
That's what happens.
That was Tony Robbins, I think.
Fuck, you know.
You got to get out there. You got to be monstrous with what you're doing. You got to have unleashed the power within.
Yeah, by the way, fucking swipe your card there. Yeah.
You're able to manifest whatever you want. Go to the back. You haven't got the money. Sell your house.
Yeah. Okay, oh, what have you done? Sell my house. For who?
Oh, I don't know, I was jumping up and down on a trampoline. Yeah.
It felt so good at the time. Yeah. No,
the
just...
music was playing. Yeah. What do you do? I sold our car. But he's going to teach me. Yeah. But joking aside, I love Tony Robbins.
He doesn't.
But you hear a lot of stories because there's so many people. It's the mechanics of their events. I've known people who've gone there and come back and gone, fucking hell, I didn't want to buy that. And then they're trying to get out of it. And it's like, no, you've paid your deposit. Like, there's a lot of people. He has created the biggest business in the world at the end of the day. In personal development, isn't
it? Nice shit, put it on the map, right?
Yeah. He's done phenomenal things, but I still like to take the piss because I'd like to think he'd take the piss out of me as well if he knew who I was. He'd, you know, take the piss.
Come have some hypnosis fucking state to put you in and say, was you mocking that fucking mocker?
Yeah. You're mocking the mocker of the mocker. that's my impression of him. I think that's how he sounds. Well, one thing I didn't like actually about, we're waffling on now, different story for a different day, but did you watch I Am Not Your Guru?
No.
His Netflix thing. Yeah, it's pretty cool seeing the effort they go to behind the scenes. Yeah, you can't knock it. Some of the things he did were a bit weird, though, like fucking going on, like really coming down on that young girl in the start. You're like, wow. I was like, I don't know if that's really for me. Like,
hey, did Fred put that shit in the series? I told him not to put it in there.
Cut that shit out.
First 10 minutes of the first episode, some burger and a grilling. Wasn't the girl that put the fucking lemon water video on that, was it?
It was. She got fucking out of info. Everyone did.
Right,
putting that lemon
the business. Never put another video out there again, bless her.
I hope that woman never saw that video.
She listens to this and go, glad them two got my back.
I have got her back because lemon water, not a problem. If you float your boat, whatever. I think she was saying it detoxifies and, you know, like all that stuff. Detoxifies. And
yeah, because I read the science. I read all the literature. I don't give a fuck what you read, mate. You don't got a sense of common sense in you. Yeah, and I don't give a fuck how many peer review studies you read.
Right, let's just go on a rant. Let's just fucking put everyone to it on this one.
No, but you get them guys like, well, I read this and I read this and oh, fuck, I give a shit, mate. Does that make you any more qualified at this game? I ain't got a qualification to my name, mate, and I'd have it with most of these fellas, you know?
Well, I think, there's two ways to build the biggest building in town. You know, build your own or have the biggest building in town, build your own or knock everyone else's down. It's like much more enjoyable to build your own, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah.
Walk someone else's road or build your own.
Definitely. Anyway, we should end on that note because I can feel me doing more impressions. Are you going to do your Mike Tyson before you go?
It won't come out on camera.
It won't come out on camera?
It has come out natural.
Yes, come out natural. Do you feel like you've got performance anxiety now?
Do you get
performance anxiety a lot?
Nah, I just ain't getting paid for that shit. That's an added feature. We've got to look at the contracts.
You're just worried Mike's going to see it.
I could fuck about Mike.
Hang on. Fucking John McClane's back. That's not the bloke from Nakatomi. That's not the bloke from the Nakatomi building. That's the bloke who invented the fries. Is that McClane's or McCain's? John McCain's, isn't it?
Yeah, McCain's.
Anyway, we're out of here.